Yes, Lord. We are the people of your new covenant. We are your children, Lord, who seek your face, who come before you, O God, in humility and with so much love. We know the work that you're doing in our lives today, O God. Each of us can sense your Holy Spirit and how, O Lord, indeed, you are so, so good to us. So we praise you. It's with these things in mind, O God, that we gather together in worship today, that we offer ourselves as a gift to you, and our worship as a gift to you. Accept this gift, O God, and may it be pleasing in your sight. We love you and we praise you and ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'll draw us closer to you today than ever. And we ask this in the powerful and the beautiful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. How are we all doing today? Yay, are we ready to worship God this morning? Yay, all right, fantastic. So just want to remind you, this is a good time right now to turn to the people that you're with, whoever that might be, and just say, awesome, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here with me. And I thank all of us who are here in this room today. Thank you for being here today. There's just some awesome and talented people in this room who are really making this happen. So in your prayers of gratitude, as certainly they are in mine, please keep all those people in your prayers today. Couple of announcements, I guess. Nothing really new to report. We're still in the same sort of holding pattern. But I will say, just continue to stay in touch with one another. Stay in touch with the church through the weekly connection and the chimes and other ways. And if you feel inclined, you know, take advantage of some of the links that are on that weekly connection to a Thursday night gathering where we're getting together, discussing scripture and talking about our lives. Everyone's invited to be part of that. Take a look at the offerings that Ms. Whitney has for children and what Patrick has for youth going on. They have a new video up, by the way, of the youth who are reflecting on this moment of tension around justice and injustice and racial issues. So the youth have given forth a little bit of their perspective, and it's very worth seeing. So all those things are still going on. And again, praise God and glad that everyone is here. So today we're going to continue in our look at the tales on this kingdom trail with Jesus as he continues his ministry. We're looking at chapter 13, and we'll be looking at verses 24 through 30, and then picking up again with 36 all the way down through 43. Yeah, but in anticipation of that, just to give you an idea of where we're going with this sermon today, I want to actually read from John as chapter 3. And these are familiar words, but they're always words worth hearing again. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. So, maybe you've heard the expression, you probably have heard the expression, "Oh man, that is the best thing since sliced bread." You ever heard that? The best thing since sliced bread. It means that there's just something out there that is so revolutionary and so helpful and so great. It's just the greatest. Well, that saying came about in the 1920s when the Wonder Brand Corporation actually created and marketed pre-sliced bread. And everybody looked at that and they said, man, this is just exactly what we've been waiting for. This is the greatest thing that has come along in a long time. However, as wonderful as a slice of Wonder Bread was, it became clear over the coming decade or so that the process by which Wonder was making its bread was kind of leaching out all of the all the nutrients and vitamins that had made bread a nutritional wonder for generation after generation after generation. Well, after they discovered this, of course, Wonder Bread and others began to infuse their flour, infuse their bread with vitamins. And actually, those vitamins that they ended up putting in the bread, sort of restoring to the bread and then adding a few more, they were credited over that decade of reducing by far the levels of pellagra and the levels of beriberi, those kinds of diseases that come about because of a lack of nutrition. And by the 1960s, Wonder Bread, as many of you will remember, was known as the bread that builds strong bodies 12 ways because of the 12 vitamins that they put in there. Well, the fact of it is, whether it's Wonder Bread or Bimbo or Dave's Killer Bread, bread has been this basic stuff of life for thousands and thousands of years. And wheat has been the most essential and probably the most valuable grain on earth. Wheat is life-giving, it's bountiful. And if you've ever seen the amber waves of grain up in the Great Plains, you know that it's beautiful. And not only as a matter of fact, but as a symbol for prosperity and for goodness. So it's little wonder that Jesus uses wheat as a symbol in the story that he tells today. And he uses it as a symbol of God's justice, of his mercy, and what it means to live as a son or a daughter in what he called the kingdom of God. Now, you'll remember over these last few days or a few weeks, we've been talking about how Jesus is on this ministry journey up in that area around the Sea of Galilee. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about how it is that a person can live into what he called the kingdom of God, which again is not a place that is far, far away or way off in the future. It's a thing that is near, near, right here. It's a way of looking at one another and ourselves, and also an approach to life from God's point of view, looking at life from God's point of view, and then doing our best to receive God's best by doing his will. So it's seeing things from God's perspective, and then it's doing what God would will us and ask us to do. Well, Jesus is out there, Matthew tells us, and he is telling all kinds of stories about what it is to be living in this kingdom of God. This is his thing. He is telling stories. And as we said last week, he had gathered some of his followers out at the shore of the Sea of Galilee, which was really a great idea because people could arrange themselves on the slope coming down to the Sea of Galilee so they could all see him really well. And Jesus could sort of push himself off from the shore. He's standing in a boat, right? And his voice would just bounce off the surface of the water so they could hear him really well. But as you remember last week, even though they could see him very, very well and they could hear him very, very well, it was always a question as to whether or not people would understand what Jesus was saying, if they would really get his message. And it depended a lot upon the condition of the heart upon which those words of his stories were falling, if a person had kind of a hard heart towards Jesus, well, those stories he told could often seem perplexing, maybe even a little disturbing, maybe even a little insulting. But if a person had a supple heart, if they were looking for a change in their lives, if they were beginning to believe that Jesus could help them find a renewed relationship with God, well, then those words that Jesus said would often come down to them like a revelation from heaven. Exactly the right words from the person who held the keys to the kingdom. Well, on this day, Jesus is beginning this story. And he begins the story as he does often. He says to those people who are arranged there on that shore, on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." This kingdom of heaven, this way of living, is like a man who sows good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, Jesus says, his enemy came and he sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. Now, anybody hearing this in Jesus' little crowd there, they would understand that this was a picture of really a particular kind of insidious evil, this little thing right here. Because this weed that would grow up alongside of wheat and would sprout about the same time that the wheat would form a head, that wasn't any just sort of regular weed. That was called darnel. And the thing about this weed was it looked just like wheat. It was practically indistinguishable from wheat. But as life-giving as wheat was, this darnel was dangerous. It was poisonous. It had this susceptibility to this fungus that would grow on it. And if you ingested it, it could cause nausea and dizziness, and in the extreme cases, even death. So to intentionally contaminate this wheat field with darnel is to also potentially contaminate flour and bread, which is that stuff, that basic stuff of life. So this is a terrible thing that this person has done. Well, Jesus goes on. He says that the owner's servants came up to him, and they must have had a very discerning eye. They must have been pretty experienced, because they said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from, this darnel come from?" And the master says, "Oh, well, an enemy did this." And then the servants ask him what I would ask him, or what anybody would probably ask him. They said, "Well, listen, do you want us to go and pull them up? Do you want us to just get those weeds out of there? Because listen, everybody knows it's not great to have weeds in your wheat or anywhere. Weeds choke out the good plants. Weeds crowd them out. They take out the nutrients that are made for those good plants. Let's just pull them up out of there." But the master says, "No, no." He says, "No, because while you're pulling up the weeds," the master says, "you may root up the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them up in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." See, this darnel, not only is it indistinguishable almost from wheat, the roots also intertwine with that wheat, so it makes it really difficult to pull one up without damaging the other. So in his wisdom, the master says, this farmer says, let them all grow up, and then when the time is right, when the end comes, when the harvest comes, we'll cut them all down. We'll cut them all down, and then we will discern what is wheat, what is weeds, what is life-giving, what is poisonous, and we'll separate them at that time. Well, people sitting in Jesus' crowd. I'm sure some of them were sitting there thinking, gee, that's pretty good farming advice. In fact, this guy, I mean, I don't know about Jesus. He may not be that great a prophet or anything, but judging by this story and the one he just told about sowing the seeds on different soil, he knows a lot about farming. But of course, those people who were really keyed in knew that Jesus wasn't talking about farming at all. He wasn't talking about separating weeds from wheat. He was talking about separating the life-giving, the bountiful, the beautiful, from the poisonous, from the destructive, from the deceitful. And this harvest didn't come at the end of a season, but it comes at the end of time. Jesus said as much. His disciples gathered him, went to find him, you know, later after he told this story. The disciples do this a lot. They feel like they probably got it down. They probably know what Jesus is talking about, but they always want to check it out. So they ask him, they said, explain to us this parable of the weeds in the field. And Jesus tells them right out. He says, well, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. It's me, it's Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons, the people, the sons and daughters of the kingdom. Yeah, the people, the sons and daughters of the kingdom, who are like the wheat that grows up in the field of God's world. A few months ago, you might remember when Jesus first began his ministry journey. One of the first things he did is he sat everybody down, and he sat down and he began to explain about these people who were seeking out his kingdom, who wanted to live as sons and daughters of his kingdom. And he called them blessed, you remember? He said, blessed are those who are poor of spirit. Meaning those people who get to a place in their lives and they realize that they just can't really go on. They can't really do it in their own strength. So in their weakness, they call out to God and they open up a door for God, and that Spirit of God comes in and they are filled with the strength of God in their lives. And man, they are blessed. They're blessed. And they begin on this journey to become sons and daughters of the kingdom. And Jesus went on. He said, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are sad, who have suffered loss, who may be just regretting and sad over their own sin, the way they messed their lives up, or just sad over the condition of the world and the sin that they see there. And it breaks their heart. And it breaks their heart and opens up their heart to God and his compassion. And Jesus said, man, those people are blessed. They've opened themselves up to God. And yeah, they're on their way to becoming sons and daughters of the kingdom. And then Jesus went on, he said, blessed are those who are meek, who are humble, those who have understood their need for God, those who have come to terms with their sin and they're brokenhearted over it. But then they go the next step. They receive that Spirit of God, and then they have the courage to say, lead me, God, I'm yours. They're blessed because they are those who will become, who are becoming sons and daughters of the kingdom. They are the ones who are like that wheat in God's field, in the field of God's world. They are the ones who pray the way that Jesus taught them to pray. And you all know this, don't you? You all know this. your kingdom come. They pray, your kingdom come, God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They pray this believing, knowing that God has created all things. God has created this world. God has created this universe. And one day that God is going to bring this chapter of history to an end. And at that time, there will be no more evil. There will be no more sin. There will be no more disappointment. There will be no more hurt, because God will renew the whole world. He will change the whole thing. He said to his disciples, he said at that time, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Like darn, evil's plucked out of the world. And those sons and daughters of the kingdom, oh, we hear this and we say, oh yeah, come, Lord Jesus, come, oh yeah, bring it on, oh yeah, yes, 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 hallelujah, yes, yes, yes. But God says, the Master says, you remember the story, he says, not so fast. God delays the day. God delays his justice. God delays the harvest, because God is good. God is merciful. And people are not plants. As long as the harvest is delayed, people can change. And as much as we may wish for, long for, and hope for a world where all is life and all is bounty and all is beauty, as long as there's one more day, one more soul can be saved, it's one more day for the evil that's grown up alongside the good. And by the way, for the evil that is intertwined with the good in your heart and in my heart, it's one more day. They can become more life-giving, become more bountiful, and more beautiful. We become more life-giving. We become more life-giving, like that wheat in God's field. When we are the ones who bring patience when things are spiraling out of control, we become more life-giving when we are the ones who bring mercy and kindness when others are bringing criticism and recrimination. We become more life-giving, like that wheat in God's field, when we're the ones that bring the truth, God's truth, into confusion, and when we stand by that truth firmly but gently with love, we become more bountiful. When we discover and uncover the good gifts that God has given to each one of us, and we bring those gifts to bring our best into any situation, whether that's our family, whether that's our church, whether that's our work, whatever it is. And maybe even we use those gifts to coax the best out of others. Yeah. We become more like those people. More like those people who are wheat in God's field, when we become more beautiful
And I don't mean in the way we look or in the lifestyle that we lead, but maybe more beautiful because we bring peace where there's stress and there's conflict. We point out the good where others are focused on the darkness, and there seems to be plenty of that out there to look at these days. When we glorify God in everywhere possible, that's when we become more and more like that wheat in God's field, and more those sons and daughters of the kingdom. Well, next week, we're going to be looking at the perfect perch from which to view this kingdom of God. But in the meantime, this week, I hope that we'll all just take a moment to remember that every single one of these parables that Jesus speaks, in fact, everything that he says and every action he ever took is actually an offer for us to be blessed, to become more and more those people, those sons and daughters of his kingdom, and to help others do so as well. And we can do that as long as, praise God, we have one more day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you, Lord, for your love and for your mercy. We know that your desire is for all people to be saved, to come into true relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, to enjoy the love and the mercy and the assurance that comes with that relationship. So, Lord, we ask that you bring all of us closer and closer to that great ideal. Help us keep our eyes focused upon you and our hearts praying for one more day. We love you this day, Jesus, and we praise you. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to go ahead and move into our prayer time. So, as usual, let's just settle down, take a little moment, take a deep breath. And while Patrick and Darlene sing for us today, let's go ahead and lift up our prayers to the Lord. Also, if you'd like those lifted up here, go ahead and write them down in the little chat boxes or whatever's in front of you there on your screen, and we'll lift those prayers up. So let's enter into an attitude of prayer.